India's Progress and Inequalities, Lights and Shadows of the Fastest Growing Major Economy by Giancarlo Elia Valori. Many view the Indian economy solely through the lens of a series of impressive figures: high GDP growth, sustained and robust exports of services and information technology, breakthroughs in the field of new energy sources, a low-cost economy, high-end manufacturing, and a steadily increasing share of new forms of productivity. From the perspective of national accounts, India appears to have once again achieved a remarkable industrial modernization, remaining steadfast despite global uncertainties. But once you engage with ordinary Indians, a chilling reality emerges. The more impressive the macroeconomic data, the harsher the reality for ordinary people. On the one hand, the country is making great strides forward, while on the other, the purchasing power of ordinary households continues to weaken. The middle class's expectations of wealth are declining, and employment pressures on young people are steadily increasing. Why is there such a huge discrepancy? This divergence is not a phenomenon unique to India. Many economies throughout history have experienced similar situations during periods of transition. Macroeconomic data is positive, but people's lives become more difficult. The difference lies in two points. If it is simply a cyclical problem, the gap will gradually narrow with economic recovery. But if the logic of resource allocation has completely changed, this divide will persist for a long time and may even widen. Today's India falls into the latter category. When a major power shifts the focus of its development toward industrial security, technological self-sufficiency, global competitiveness, and innovation in strategic sectors, capital, talent, credit, and government subsidies will systematically flow like a tide toward high-end industries, leading enterprises, and export-oriented sectors. Consequently, resources allocated to consumer goods, private small and medium-sized enterprises, labor-intensive industries, and basic service sectors will naturally decline. This has led to a situation where the country is gaining ever greater power, but the sense of well-being among ordinary people has not kept pace. Growth is no longer inclusive, but rather structural and stratified. This is the defining characteristic of the Indian economy in 2026. The macroeconomy is booming, while the microeconomy is going through a difficult period. To understand India in 2026, one must trace the logic of its development over the past few decades. India has followed a highly successful path. By leveraging its vast population, the world's largest, at 1,470,000 people, open markets, the outsourcing of services, and the digital economy, it has rapidly integrated into the global division of labor. Its sectors, IT, information technology, which encompasses the methods, systems, and technologies used to store, protect, process, and transmit digital data. These include both physical hardware components, such as computers and servers, and software programs and networks, pharmaceuticals, and service outsourcing, have achieved world-class excellence. Digital payments and local internet platforms have driven costs to the absolute minimum, creating an economy of scale that smaller countries simply cannot replicate. At the time, India did three crucial things right. 1. It gradually opened its doors to the global market. 2. It deregulated the private sector to unleash greater dynamism. And 3. It protected property rights and encouraged wealth creation. These three factors underpin the period of rapid growth that India experienced for decades. However, in recent years, the logic has completely changed. As the country's strategic focus shifts toward cutting-edge innovation, self-reliance and control, and the consolidation of leading companies, the Indian economy is slowly falling into a structural trap from which it is difficult to escape: capital-intensive growth. India's most dynamic and heavily supported industrial sectors at present, IT, biomedicine, renewable energy, high-end manufacturing, artificial intelligence, and industrial automation, share a common characteristic. They are heavily dependent on capital, technology, and talent, while at the same time being extremely independent of ordinary labor. These sectors can generate staggering output, boost GDP, and enhance a country's prestige, but they cannot create jobs on a large scale or significantly increase the income of ordinary people. This leads to a classic siphon effect. The best resources are drawn away by cutting-edge industries, while small and medium-sized enterprises, subsistence sectors, retail, services, and traditional manufacturing are simultaneously marginalized. National power is growing exponentially, but the vast majority of people are not deeply involved in this growth. This ultimately creates a paradoxical situation: poverty amid abundance. The country boasts world-class industries, yet ordinary people face slow income growth, fierce competition for jobs, and cautious consumption. This is not because the country is not strong enough, but because the growth model no longer has the improvement of the population's well-being as its sole objective. Which industrial sectors in India will remain strong in 2026? Which ones should ordinary citizens absolutely avoid? Which ones still offer opportunities? 1. IT services, software outsourcing, biomedicine, high-end manufacturing, and leading sectors of the digital economy. These sectors are extremely competitive on a global scale and will remain irreplaceable for the next 2 or 3 years. The problem is that barriers to entry are extremely high. A monopoly is held by the major players, and resources are highly concentrated. Ordinary people, those with limited capital, and new entrants have virtually no chance of survival. Rushing to enter these sectors will most likely lead them to be the next to lose money, face cutthroat competition, and suffer losses. 2. The new energy sector, including solar and wind power, is heavily dependent on international markets and the geopolitical landscape. European demand is relatively stable, while the Asia-Pacific region is subject to greater risks of volatility. Although the sector as a whole is growing, significant political risks and sharp cyclical fluctuations make it unsuitable for small and medium-sized enterprises. 3. The rail transportation, infrastructure, and large-scale project sector, driven by foreign cooperation and exports, relies on an economy that is still growing in the short term. However, it is project-based, dominated by leading companies, and characterized by concentrated resources. Therefore, it has little to do with ordinary people. 4. As for artificial intelligence, industrial robots, and automation, the clearest growth trajectory for 2026 is a continued increase in global market share. However, this growth will remain technology and capital intensive, with a very limited impact on ordinary employment. This reveals a harsh truth. All of India's major national projects are irrelevant to the vast majority of the population. They may enhance the country's prestige, but they are unable to improve people's lives. The scope for private capital has shrunk significantly. With major market players continuing to expand, small and medium-sized private enterprises are competing for existing market share in an increasingly constrained economic space. It would be unusual for them not to participate. Furthermore, it must be noted that household budgets are shrinking. In the past, the wealth of many families was based on the appreciation in the value of real estate. When liquidity in the real estate market declines and investment returns become unstable, society as a whole will adopt a unified approach: no debt, no investments, no expansion, and no consumption except when strictly necessary. As consumption contracts, the domestic distribution strategy directly transforms into a struggle for existing market share. Companies lower prices to survive. As a result, profits shrink, so wages do not rise, and people become even more reluctant to spend money. This is where the downward spiral begins. Furthermore, the cost of living is constantly rising, with increasing expenses for utilities, transportation, education, and healthcare, placing continuous pressure on the cash flow of ordinary households. In 2026, doing business will be more difficult. Profits will be slimmer. Pay raises will be rarer. Finding a good job will become increasingly competitive, and even the slightest risk could prove disastrous. This is not a short-term problem, but a prolonged period of headwinds caused by shifting growth models. The most realistic keyword for the Indian job market in 2026 can be summed up in a single phrase: increased production without increased incomes. Industrial output is rising, companies are growing in size, and the cost of living is rising, but wages and a sense of security are not keeping pace. Young people's career paths are becoming increasingly narrow. They either scramble to enter the public sector and secure a stable job, or compete fiercely in the food delivery, courier, and basic services sectors. High-quality jobs in the private sector, which offer real opportunities for advancement, are becoming increasingly rare. It's not that young people aren't working hard. Rather, the structure of the economy determines how opportunities are allocated. High-end sectors require fewer entry-level workers, and traditional sectors are shrinking. So the rewards for hard work are steadily diminishing, and the pathways for upward social mobility are narrowing ever further. At this point, it becomes clear that the GDP growth rate isn't all that important. If growth doesn't translate into more jobs, higher incomes, and greater social mobility, then for ordinary people, it is growth that is visible but intangible. Currently, anyone living, working, or starting a business in India must realize that certain steps to take are more important than any macroeconomic analysis. 1. It is necessary to abandon the fantasy of getting rich quickly. One must avoid high levels of debt, a burdensome asset portfolio, and indiscriminate expansion. 2. Stay away from sectors already monopolized by industry giants. What may be a trend for others could turn out to be a trap for the average person. 3. Prioritize activities that generate cash flow and avoid investing in vague, long-term, or speculative projects. The closer you are to a secure income for your personal and family support, the safer you are. 4. Avoid following real estate investment trends or engaging in high-risk activities without experience. Today's liquidity is more important than tomorrow's theoretical and fleeting returns. 5. With a secure job, prioritize stability, quick personal initiative, and cash flow while strengthening your reputation. It is not worth sacrificing real income and economic security for a risky career change. 6. Reduce your desires, cut back on expenses, and safeguard your family's basic needs. Survival, stability, and the ability to avoid disasters are the keys to sidestepping the aforementioned issues related to the top-down nature of India's economic progress. The cynical reality is that the Indian nation continues to grow, while individuals continue to bear the brunt of it. The glory of a great power is written in the news, in statistics, and in history. The lives of ordinary people are hidden amid paychecks, bills, and every sleepless night. Maintaining stability and taking care of one's family are the greatest victories. Author, Giancarlo Elia Valori. Honorable de l'Académie des Sciences de l'Institut de France, honorary professor at the Peking University. Giancarlo Elia Valori is a highly regarded Italian manager, playing a leading role in fostering dialogue and cooperation between countries. He is currently president of the Foundation for International Studies and Geopolitics. Published on World Geostrategic Insights on Juki 25, 2026. The opinions expressed in this article are solely those of the author and do not necessarily reflect the views of World Geostrategic Insights.